الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن الأصدق الكلام كلام الله، والخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، كل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، حياكم الله إخوان في الله والأخوات، الله يحفظكم. نسأل الله رب العرش العظيم أن يباركنا في هذه الجلسة. Inshallah, to proceed, before I start, it brings me honor to be invited here once again to my brothers here in Shepherd's Bush, the brothers who are upon Dawah, Dawah to Salafiyah, mashallah, upon the Sunnah. May Allah preserve you and you all. Alhamdulillah, we were supposed to have a scheduled lecture with our Sheikh Abdullah Najmi, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, but due to their Dawah and their conference which they are having over there in Samata, then he has excused himself. So then, Allah musta'an, ma ana illa faqir Allah azza wa jal. But I'll try my best, inshallah, to remind myself and to remind the brothers and sisters regarding a very important affair. And that affair indeed is regarding clinging to our deen, holding to our religion and to the guidance in times of fitan. For verily, it's become something strange now. People upon the truth, people upon the haqq, in our time and society that we are living in, is looked upon as something strange. And alhamdulillah, if you analyze the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then indeed, from his irshad and from his guidance, that he did not leave his ummah in dhalala, he made everything clear. All those years ago, he made it everything clear, and informed us about what we were going to face. And Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu qal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yati ala nasi zamanun, akabidhu ala deenihi kalkabidhu ala jama. Rawahu Tirmidhi, fi kitab al-fitan, wa sahhu Shaykh al-Bani rahimullah. And Anas ibn, and the authority of Anas ibn Malik, he reports that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that there will come a time, there will come a time for mankind, and from this mankind, the nas, the murad here are the believers. That there will come a time that holding onto your religion, holding onto your faith, your iman, will be like holding onto hot coals. Look at the mithal that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave. He gave the mithal of hot coals. No one in this room, or no one from the human race, has the ability to hold hot coals in their hands for such a long, lengthy time. The Messenger ﷺ gave this example to show you the severity of how hard it's going to be to hold onto this deen and to hold onto the book of Allah, to hold onto the sunnah of the Messenger ﷺ. He informed us of this. And the reason that we are mentioning this, that how many individuals have we seen that are coming onto the deen from our brothers and from our sisters. And then you will find after a fatra, due to what they are going through, or where they may be living, or the difficulties that they are facing, you will find that they start to compromise their deen. You need to hold firm onto your deen. Al-Imam Sa'di rahimullah, regarding this hadith, has some very beautiful words. He mentions, فَإِنَّهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَخْبَرَ أَنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرِ الزَّمَانِ يَقِلَّ الْخَيْرُ وَأَسْبَابَهُ وَيُكْثِرَ الشَّرُ وَأَسْبَابَهُ. He said, Imam Sa'di rahimullah, regarding this hadith, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that in the akhir zaman, that late in the akhir zaman, he mentioned that the goodness and good would decrease. And the reasons of doing that good likewise would decrease. And then he mentions, وَيُكْثِرَ الشَّرُ, and then the evil will increase. The evil will increase. وَالْأَسْبَابُ, and likewise the means of reaching that evil will increase. لَا شَكْ وَلَا رَيْبِ. If you analyze our day today, where we live in, the asbab of evil, the means of reaching that evil, has become more. By way of the telephone, by way of the internet, by way of the TV, by way of the society we live in, where we work, where we study, all of these are asbab that are increasing the evil. And then he went on to mention, Imam Sa'di rahimullah, وَأَنَّهُ عِنْدَ ذَلِكَ يَكُونَ مُتَّمَسِّكْ بِالدِّينِ مِنَ النَّاسِ أَقَلَ الْقَلِيلِ. And at this time, when the evil is manifest and multiplied, and the means of evil is multiplied, he said, holding on to the deen at that time, there will be very, very few that will be doing this. There will be very, very few. وَهَذَا قَلِيلٌ فِي حَالَةِ الشِّدَّةِ وَمُشَقَّةِ. He said that these few that will be holding on to their deen, their state will be in hardship, mushakka, difficulties they will be facing. And then he mentions, and then he goes, their example will be like they are holding on to hot coals. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us of this. What is the hikmah behind this? Fitan will increase. Because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the fitan, every generation that comes, there will be more fitan. It will increase. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likewise has informed us regarding the fitan that will come. قال الله عز وجل أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he puts the question forth. Do you think that you will enter paradise and you will not be tested? You will not be tested. So you think you will not be tested like those that were before you? He said, verily, مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ الْقَرِيبُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says and he explains that they went through severe poverty and severe hardship up until they was even shaken. They were shaken from the trials that they went through. Up until the Messenger said, and those who believed that was with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when is the aid of Allah? Those that came before said this, and likewise the ones that came at the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When will be the help of Allah? And then Allah reassures and says that verily the aid of Allah and the nasr of Allah is qareeb. So Allah is informing us that we will be tested. And why are we emphasizing on this? Because we are finding, and I address myself first, that we are losing the battle. We are losing the battle against shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much blessing. And in later on you will hear what this blessing took to reach us by way of the blood of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those that was with him, what they had to go through to bring this to us. And look how easily we are giving it away. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in the Quran, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَن يُتْرُكُوا وَأَن يَقُولُ آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in the Quran, does mankind think that they will be left alone to say, I believe, that I have believed, and he will not be tested? It mentions, وَلَكَدْ فَتَّنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Verily we did test those that were before you. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in order, and this is the hikmah, as our ulama have mentioned of old and of present, that one of the hikm, one of the wisdom behind a person being tested, it is that it distinguishes a sadiq min al-kathib. It distinguishes the truthful one that is true to Allah, that is true to what he believes, true to what he learns and he acts upon it. And to the one who has the fake call, the one who claims to be upon the haq, but when difficulties come, he's very quick to throw it away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, he says that verily we did test those before you in order for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know the truthful ones from the ones that were the liars. And even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowing of what they do, but rather these actions will be documented. And these actions will be brought forth on Yawm al-Qiyamah, these statements and these actions. And they will either be for you, or they will either be against you. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam likewise, has informed us regarding when the companions questioned him regarding making dua, because they were going through trials and tribulations, difficulty. So upon that, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, قَدْ كَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ يُؤْخَذُ الرَّجُلُ. He said that verily before, the people would take a man, فَيَحْفَرُ لَهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَجْعَلْ فِيهَا. So they would make a hole, like a pit, into the ground. And then they would put this individual. ثُمَّ يُؤْتَ بِنْ مِنْ شَارُ. He said then, they would bring a saw. Now ponder upon this. They would bring a saw. They would put this individual in a pit. And then they would bring a saw. And then it mentions, فَيُضَعُوا عَلَىٰ رَأْسِهِ. So they would place this saw on this person's head. And then it mentions, فَيَجْعَلْهُ نِسْفَيْنِ. So then they would saw his head into two. And then it mentions likewise, then they would bring metal combs. Metal combs, and they would scrape the skin up until there was nothing left but bones. Look at the immense difficulty that they went through. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions, وَمَا يَسُدُّهُ ذَلِكَ عَنْ دِينِهِ. Even that would not make him repel his deen or leave off his religion. They would stay firm. So the question is, what is it that's making us become weak? Are we having a saw put on our head? Are we having metal combs put on our skins and scraped up until there is no flesh left but bones? If we was in that state, how would we be? Just the mere fact of the dunya, or the societies that we are living in, or the individuals that we may be making as companions, the pressure of them is making us lose our religion. How many, ikhwan, and we are seeing it up and down the country, nasallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many brothers and sisters were here yesterday, and they are no longer here with us, because the dunya has taken them. The dunya has taken them. And inshallah we will mention the asbab, the reasons of why this happens. Likewise, we have the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ حَتَّى نَعْلَمَ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّابِرِينَ. وَنَبْلُوَ أَخْبَارَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and verily we will test you. We will test you to see who strives, who are the mujahideen, who are the ones that are striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who are the patient ones. And then it mentions, and they will test your facts, and they will test, meaning to see if you are a truthful one, or if you are the ones that are false. Likewise, the testing will not be easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Al-Baqarah, He mentions the things that will be a fitna. From the wisdom of Allah, from the hikmah of Allah, He tests His abd with something that will be a test for him. For example, He may test somebody with wealth, but that may not be a fitna for somebody else. He may test somebody with the family, or with his children, and that may not be a fitna for somebody else, for that particular person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows what a test is. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives examples. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ, that we will test you by way of fear, by way of hunger. وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ, and likewise, that you will lose your wealth, that the wealth will be taken from you. وَالْأَنْفُسِ, with lives, those beloved ones, whether it be your parents or your children or your close ones, your wife or your husband. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that we test. And then He mentions with thamarat, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then informs that give good tidings to the patient ones. So here, Allah has given examples. And Ahl al-Ilm and the Mufassirun mention that there are other things that a person is tested with. They are other than this. But these are the most common things that affects a person. Either that he fears of something, either it is by way of poverty and hunger, or either by way of their wealth being taken away from them. Because verily this is the way of the shaitan. The shaitan puts fear into mankind by making them think that they will lose their wealth, and they will be amongst individuals that are poor. And likewise, with anfus, that with lives, with the ones who are close to you or with your own selves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test. Like He did test the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by losing his children before his own death. So you will be tested. But listen to what listen to what Allah says. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, but give good tidings to the patient ones. The ones, what patient ones? Allah explains, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَسَابَتْهُمْ مَسِيبًا, verily those who are afflicted by a calamity or some hardship. Listen to what Allah says. قَالُوا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, that when they are trialed, they say, verily we are from Allah, we belong to Allah, and to Allah we will return. This is a statement of the true believers. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that upon them, ulaika alayhim as-salawatu min rabbihim wa rahmah, and verily they will have salat alayhim, and likewise they will have the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend upon them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to mention, ulaika humul muhtadun, that verily those are the guided ones. To reach that station, my brother, is not easy. To reach that station and to understand, and that can only come with dirasa. First and foremost, this is why I advise my brothers and my sisters to seek knowledge. To seek knowledge. Alhamdulillah, you have been blessed. I don't think there is any other markers, not even us in Birmingham, who perhaps has the biggest markers of Salafiyya in the UK. I don't think, not even us or anyone else, have the blessings of what you are having now. You are having mashaykh that are doing ittisalat and doing muhadarat for yourselves. And they are not, no individuals that are not known. You have Sheikh Abdullah Najmi, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, who Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi mentioned him as a Sheikh wa akh al-fadil. And we all know who Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi was. He is the Sheikh of the mashaykh. Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi, rahimullah, he is the Sheikh of Sheikh Rabi. He is the Sheikh of Zayd al-Madkhali. And likewise, he is the Sheikh of Muhammad bin Hadi, and Sheikh Ali Haddadi, and many others. This is the Sheikh of Sheikh Ahmed, this is the Sheikh Afwan of Abdullah Najmi. And then even better, through him, and constant dirasa with him, you even now have that Alama Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali. Hafidhullah Ta'ala. Wallahi ni'ma ala ni'ma. Blessings wallahi. There shouldn't be a place empty when these durus are going on. Wallahi, there should not be. Both sides, the sisters and likewise the male section, there shouldn't be any space at all. Especially the likes of Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali, who is the last, as they mention, of those big ulama, ulama upon Salafiyya, from old up until now, and may Allah preserve him and preserve us upon the truth. But wallahi, this is a ni'mah, that you have an alim like this, and you have a blessing, but they give you weekly durus. So alhamdulillah, make benefit of this, because the more knowledge you have, the stronger you will be. The more knowledge you have of Allah's names and attributes, and of Allah's punishment, and of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, the more you will fear Allah, the more you will hope for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reward. So these are the things, ikhwan, that will help a person gaining this knowledge. And then once you receive that knowledge and you have the tawfiq to act upon that knowledge, then you become from these individuals. That when hardship comes, wherever you may be, فَأَيِّ مَكَانٍ وَزَمَانٍ, whatever place and whatever time that you may be, because you have been blessed with knowledge and you have had the tawfiq to act upon your knowledge, then you will be able to face any type of tribulation that comes, any type of difficulty that comes. It won't rock you. As our Shaykh, Shaykh Rabi, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he mentions that the individuals that have a marad in their hearts, or they have a doubt in their hearts, that they have not really learned the manhaj properly. He said, all the time, whenever a fitna comes, you will find that they are the first ones to be affected. Any fitna that comes, they are the first ones to be affected. Their hearts are like glass, very fragile. But you will find that the ones that are learned, the ones that are mutamassik bi kitabillah wa sunnati rasulillah ala fahm as-salaf as-salih, those individuals you'll find, whatever problem comes, whether it is due with dunyawi or whether it is due to something with the deen, you'll find that they are firm. You'll find that they are firm. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding these individuals. That these individuals, that no matter what happens, that when they are trialed, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding them, that verily they will have salawat upon them, and they will have Allah's mercy. And verily, they are the true guided ones. And know for a surety, that our Imam, the Imam of Imams, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what took place with him, and then those that followed him from the companions, and then those who follow their way, anyone that puts and treads upon this path, you will face difficulties. But our difficulty is nothing like what they faced. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that kissa, when he was making sajda by the Kaaba, and then the mushrikeen, they wish to put the waste, the afterbirth of a camel, upon the back of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was doing sajda. This is, I used to make mockery of him. And likewise at the Battle of Uhud, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was beaten, where he lost his tooth, a part of his tooth, where the sacred blood was drawn. For what? For what reason? What wrong did he do? Except for him to say what? La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. That is the only mushkila they had with him. And he fought, and he mentioned in the Battle of Uhud, even he fell into a ditch. Look what he went through to preserve the religion. And then the companions, what they went through. They were beaten and killed for what we are saying on our tongues today. For us to say the kalimat of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, no one is beating our backs. For us to be able to look like a Muslim, even though we may have some hardships and some mockery made of us, but wallahi billahi alayk, no one is putting a gun to our head. No one is putting a sword to our throats. So what is it? What is it that is making us become da'if? What is it that yesterday we were upon this and today that we are getting weaker? Is it merely the society that we live in? Is it merely the fitna that's only around us that is making us crumble? Nasallallahu azza wa jalla al-afiyah. Likewise, what I wish to mention likewise, أكبر المصيبة على العبد, that the biggest calamity upon a slave, the biggest disaster that can happen to a slave, إذا كان الملتزم وعلى الحق وعلى الاستقامة ثم ينقلب إلى الضلالة والمعاصي, that the biggest, as the ulama have mentioned, the biggest calamity that can come upon a slave, that a slave is upon istiqamah. He's steadfast. He's upon the deen. He's upon guidance. And then he turns. And then he leaves the straight path. He becomes weak. He becomes weak. And in some situations, أعوذ بالله من ذلك, which we have witnessed likewise, نسأل الله العافية, that they even leave the deen. What is it, ikhwan, that makes a person receive guidance and be upon istiqamah, be upon sunnah, and then tomorrow he's the other way? This is why, ikhwan, that hadith of Salama, حينما سُلِئَتْ بِنِسْبَةِ الْأَكْثَرِ الدُّعَاءِ نَبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, when she was questioned regarding the dua of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which dua he made the most. فقالت يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك. And then she answered by saying that the dua that the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say the most, O turner of the hearts, O turner of the hearts, make my heart firm upon your religion. Make me firm upon your religion. This is the dua that he would increase in. And this is who? The Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what is it? What are the asbab? Ahl al-ilm have mentioned the reasons. Some of the reasons. The major reasons. There are many. But some of the major reasons why a person can be upon istiqamah, can be upon sunnah, and then he deviates. The first one, al-dhunub, sins. Qala Ibn Mubarak rahimullah, رأيت الذنوب تموت القلوب. Ibn Mubarak rahimullah, he said, verily I did see that sins, it kills the heart. Wallahi, it kills the heart. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has mentioned, رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, ran upon their hearts. There is a seal upon their hearts. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, and he mentions regarding this, he explains and says, الذم على ذم, تكرار الذم, that sins upon sins, that a person continues to sin upon sin, up until he gets a seal in his heart. And once that seal comes, then his eyes no longer see, his ears no longer hear, his heart no longer comprehends. Sins, ikhwan, wallahi, especially in the time and the society that we live in, we have to strive hard, we have to have jihad and nafs. If we see, for example, in this country, a little bit of sun comes down and sunshine, then you'll see that the facade spreads. You'll see the non-Muslims naked nearly. أبي أسف الشديد even from amongst the Muslims, you find that they have taghir. You find that they change in their clothing. And shaitan comes to all individuals with different darajat. For the ones who are far gone, he leaves them to what they are doing. And to the believers he comes. And makes the believer feel that he needs to have his thobe a bit more tighter. And a bit more longer to fit in. And then you'll find that the sisters, that they are no longer covering what they have been ordered to. You'll find that their jilbab becomes more tight. You'll find that their jilbab likewise, it becomes more prettier, more adorning, beautified. It defeats the object of why you are covering. We cover, or the women they cover, due to the fact that Allah has ordered them to cover their modesty and not to show off their assets and their beauty. This is the reason. Let's not be of those individuals that try to outsmart Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the Yahud. When the Yahud had the manah, and when they was given the prohibition of not to fish on a particular day, so they left their nets hanging a day before in order for the fish to be caught. Trying to outsmart Allah. Wallahi, la taqrabu zina. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, do not come near zina. Do not come near fornication. And as the Mufassirun has mentioned, that this zina and this fornication is not, it is applicable to the asbab, to the means likewise that leads to fornication. Don't go to the areas where you know it will be a fitan. Don't dress in a way where you know that you are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to be smart. Ad-deen al-wiqaya. Our religion is a religion of prevention. And as the Arab they say, al-wiqaya khairu min al-ilaj. That prevention is better than the cure. Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, Nabi Allah, when he was cornered with all of those women from the nobles, when they cornered him, and likewise the wife from the leader of Misr, when they cornered him and they were making advances to him, and then he made dua, he supplicated to Allah Azza wa Jal to take him away from that place, for verily prison is more beloved to him. He said, remove me Allah, for verily I fear. He feared. From here, Imam Sa'di rahimullah brings a tremendous point of benefit. He said, if this is a prophet of Allah, and he feared, and yet he was a prophet, then what about you and me? This even more so, that we should stay away from those places of fitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afwan, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has mentioned, ihfadillah yahfadak, that be mindful of Allah, then Allah will be your protector. There's a shart. There's a condition for Allah to be your protector. And the condition is that you are mindful of Allah. How does a person become mindful of Allah? Shaykh Ubayd al-Jabri explains, hafizullah, that a person becomes mindful of Allah by carrying out the awamir. That which Allah has ordered you to do, that which the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ordered you to do, you carry that out. What has been made obligatory upon you, you carry that out. And what has been made haram, what has been made haram upon you, then you stay away from that. This is how you become mindful of Allah. And look at the exchange. That you carry out what you have been ordered to do, and you stay away from the muharramat, well, look what you get in exchange. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he becomes your protector. Likewise, so that's the first one. Of how a person that is upon istiqamah and how he falls off the straight path. Well, number one is the sins. Number two, ad-dunya. Deceived by the world. Chasing the dunya. Being blinded by the dunya. This dunya, ikhwan, that we have been warned about. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to as mata'u al-ghurur. Deception, deceiving enjoyment. It's only mere play and amusement and enjoyment and deceiving. This is the reality of this world. Likewise, we have the hadith of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا مَلْعُونَ وَمَا فِيهَا, that verily this world is cursed. Ponder upon these words, ikhwan. The world that we are living in today, our Messenger who we follow, who we say that we are individuals that follow the Quran and the Sunnah, the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that this world is cursed, and everything that which is in the world is cursed. إِلَّا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ, except the remembrance of Allah, وَمَا وَلَا, and that which comes with the remembrance of Allah, meaning the ibadah, the worship. أَيِّ شَيْ يَتَعَلَّكَ مَعَ الدِّينِ, that which is connected to the religion and ibadah is not cursed. وَالْعَالِمْ وَالْمُتَعَلِّمْ, and the scholar and the mutaallim, the student of knowledge that takes from him. These are the only things that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that they are not cursed. And Sa'idin al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in hadhi dunya hulwa wa khudira. Sa'idin al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that verily this world is sweet and green. Sweet and green is how Allah has explained. Or the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, afwan, has explained. Sweet and green. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will establish you upon the earth. Meaning that He will give you what you need to be established upon the earth. He will sustain you. فَيَنْذِرُ مَا تَعْمَلُونَ, and then He will see what actions you carry out. He will see what you do. So then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the later in the hadith, he goes on to mention, فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا, so fear the dunya. Wallahi ikhwan, this dunya, especially in these regions, which I've noticed, in these regions, the hustle and the bustle, it's very, very easy sometimes to remember why you're really here. Sometimes that thought of akhirah, jannah, nar, it is forgotten. And then all of a sudden what you have in front of you is work, rent, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, and there's no problem with that. As Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, he used to encourage for the people to work. But here the intent of those individuals that when they wake up, akbar hammahum ad-dunya, that the ones that wake up, that the most important goal they have is the dunya. How can they acquire? How can they get better status in the dunya? How can they get more money? And their hunger for the dunya takes them away from the deen. Takes them away from the remembrance of Allah. Takes them from the remembrance of Allah. And not only that, in some cases, a'udhu bi min dhalik, is that they even leave off the wajibat. They even leave off that which is made obligatory upon them. Or they'll start to compromise. And then even in some cases, even worse, they sin. Their means of acquiring their wealth is haram. And they know it's haram. In order to build that status. Wallahi, feed the dunya. Feed the dunya, ikhwan, as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned. Ad-dunya sijjin lil-mu'min wal-jannatu al-kafir. That this dunya is a prison for the believers. And it is paradise for the disbelievers. Likewise, ikhwan, we have mentioned some of the asbab. What was the first one? Of why a person leaves the straight path. Sins. Number two? Huh? Ad-dunya. Number three? Ashab. Companions. Companionship. Wallahi. Companionship, ikhwan. Subhanallah. Companionship by way of individuals that call you to dhalala by way of innovations, أو corrupt الفاسد الاعتقاد أو corrupt منهج or whether it will be by individuals who are عصات sinners or individuals are non-practicing. Listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding the one that took a companion, that he felt that this was the companion that was good for him in this life. Ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila laqad adalli an dhikri ba'da idh ja'ani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions regarding the one that will come on yawm al-qiyamah. The one who comes on yawm al-qiyamah and say, woe be to me. Woe be to me that I took such as my companion. Verily he misguided me after the guidance came to me. After the reminder came to me, he misguided me. Choose your companions well. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has mentioned, أَرَجُلٌ عَلَى دِينَ الْخَلِيلِ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, you are upon the religion of your friend, the religion of your companion. Wallah, companionship plays a huge role, a massive role. And time again, this is where the shaitan creeps in. How many times have we seen people, first and foremost, whether it be in the deen, that you will find that they have shubahat, they have doubts in their hearts, so then they spread their doubts. When a person is upon istiqamah and clarity, then they put the doubts in their hearts, which causes them to doubt, and then later you will find that they go on to a path other than the path of the Salaf. Or for example, you have individuals who they say that we are giving dawah to. They are my friends, I know him for many, many years. Or she is my friend, she has a good heart. She wishes to come unto the deen and I'm giving her dawah. Or I'm giving him dawah. This is their claim. And 6 months down the road, you'll find that the amr is aks. That the affair is opposite. They have given you dawah. You have become weak. Where you was praying 5 times, you now only pray 3 times. They are calling you to their way. Or you'll find the way that you dress. You'll find in order to be with this individual, the particular places that he goes, you may feel ashamed going there how you're looking. So then you start compromising with your dress. You start compromising by shaving your beard, for example. And in some cases, have I as witnessed, may Allah guide him back to the truth, a brother that was close to us, a brother that was with us in the masjid day and night, and started exactly on this, what I've told you. Exactly on this method. And then slowly I'm giving him dawah. He's a good guy. Or I'm doing business with him. And then what happened? You will find that he has left. He has left. He has shaved his beard. And you will find that he's out and about on the streets. The question when we spoke to him, his answer was, I'm only giving dawah. There's a farq. Yes, we give dawah. We call the people to the truth. But not at the cost of your religion. Not at the cost of your manhaj. If you have an individual who has problems and issues with the scholars, if you have individuals that have problems and issues with the manager to Salaf, once you have made it clear to him and you advised him or advised her, and they stay upon their ignorance and their stubbornness, then it's time for you to part. You don't compromise your own self and your own deen for their welfare. Not at all, ikhwan. There's a fark between giving someone dawah and being a companion of somebody. Giving someone dawah, you meet them, you give them the haq and you go. But a companion is someone who you sit with, you eat with, you travel with. There's a fark azim. Likewise, ikhwan, from the mashakil and the asbab of making a person leave the straight path is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the mushaqqa. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the ibtila. When a person is trialed and tested. At that time, you will find that from that test and the difficulty that they're going through, you will find Many, many people are rocked. Many, many, many people are shooken at that time. And it should be the opposite. As we heard in the verse, the true believers, when this happens to them, what do they say? Verily we belong to Allah, and to Allah we will return. They are patient with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought to them. But certain individuals, they use a calamity, or they use a fitna as an excuse to leave off the deen. Whether it be because of the lack of knowledge or their weakness in the deen, or whether it be because of their desires. Time and time again you'll find that when a person is trialed, he goes back and tries to solve the problem according to his nafs, his way. And when you advise with deen, they say, we know, and Allah al-Kareem, jazakallahu khaira, we know about the deen, but I have a bigger problem than that. Wallahi, the falls and the success will come by obeying Allah and obeying the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the makhraj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in the Quran, فَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, so seek aid through patience and salah. This is how the mu'min is. The mu'min, he goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given us a criteria to follow. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, I have left you two things. If you hold on to those two things, you will never go astray. In the hadith of Irbat ibn Sariyah, radiyallahu ta'ala an, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من ضمن الحديث من يعيش منكم فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا. He said that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, those that live after me, those of you that will live after me, will come to see many differences. So this is the first part, the differences, the mashakki that's going to come. But the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he did not leave it there. He advised. From the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, number one, he told us that what is going to occur. And number two, for verily he was a mercy to mankind. Sent to mankind as a mercy. Number two, he explained what to do when that happens. So when all this confusion is happening, and difficulties is happening, what did he say? فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي. That is upon you my way, وَسُنَّةُ خُلَفَى الرَّاشِدِينَ. And likewise the sunnah of my rightly guided caliphs. This is the makhraj. This is the way out from fitna. قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَمَا يَتَّكِ اللَّهُ يَجْعَلُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and whomsoever fears Allah, then Allah will find a way out for him. Allah will find a way out for him. Whatever difficulty that you have, this is the way of the believer. Wallah, I remind myself and then my brothers and my sisters that we need to stay firm. We are living in days of fitna. We are having fitna from all corners. We are having individuals that are attacking our ulama. We have individuals that are attacking the Dawat al-Salafiyya, attacking our religion, attacking the brothers who are standing firm, defending the truth. And then you have individuals who are attacking the religion and attacking us by making a mockery of us. Whether they'll be individuals that are non-Muslims or from amongst the Muslims. And even in some cases, our own families. Our own families are making mockery and making laughter. But remember that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam likewise had the same. They made mockery of him. They said that he was a madman. They said that he was a magician. They gave him all sorts of names. So likewise, we will face that. But we must be firm. As Shaykh Rabi, hafidhullah ta'ala, he says, هَذِهِ الدَّعْوَى تَحْتَاجَ الرِّجَالِ. That this da'wah, meaning the da'wah to salafiyya, it requires men. Real men. We must stay firm. When the shaitan comes, we stay firm. When the temptation of the dunya comes, we stay firm. When the sun comes out and there's fitna and facade all amongst everywhere, we lower our gaze and we stay firm. Likewise, we have the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He mentions, فَإِمَّا يَتْيَنِّ مِنِّي هُدَىٰ فَمَنْ تَبِعْ هُدَىٰيَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. This is the promise that Allah has given us. That if my guidance comes to a person, and he accepts my guidance, he holds on to that, then that person shall not fear. And likewise, that person will not have no sorrow. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, إِنَّ الْأَوْلِيَا اللَّهَ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions the awliya of Allah. The awliya of Allah, who are the awliya of Allah? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Who are these people? Who are the friends of Allah? But the ulama have mentioned some guidelines. They are upon individuals that have the correct tawheed. They are individuals that have the correct aqeedah. There are individuals that are upon the Quran and the Sunnah. There are individuals that are following the way of the companions in their understanding. There are individuals that carry out the awamir. There are individuals that stay away from the muharramat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likewise explains who they are. That these awliya, they do not have any fear. And they do not have any sorrow and sadness. And then Allah, He mentions who they are. أَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Verily those who believed. Who believe. وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. And they are the ones, كَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, who used to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers, and nasihat to myself and to you, that wallahi, yes, we will be trialed. And our deen, holding on to our deen, will be difficult. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, that Islam, بَدَعَ غَرِيبًا, that Islam, the religion of Islam, started something strange. فَسَيُعُودُ غَرِيبًا, and it will return to something strange. Meaning that there will be very, very few that will be upon the truth. Very, very, very few that will be holding and clinging on to that which they have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for mercy. So on that note, ikhwan, I leave you with one tremendous statement. And I save it on my jawal. A tremendous statement, ikhwan. And we'll round up with that. A statement, mashallah tabarak wa ta'ala, that makes a person reflect. It mentions, Al-Imam Dhahabi, he mentions it in Sirah Alam al-Nubala. It mentions that in the third volume, page 174, for those of you that want the reference. Wallah, he mentions a tremendous statement. He says that it is reported that Jundab ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, it mentions Rahimullah, was once questioned regarding advice and instruction. He was questioned regarding advice. Can we have advice? And listen to this. Wallahi, have your pens ready. Wallahi, ikhwan, listen to this advice he gave. He said, I advise you to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I advise you to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to obey Him. And I advise you to adhere to the Quran. For verily, it is the light in the dark night. And a guidance during the day. So implement it. Meaning act upon it. No matter how much struggle. Listen to what he says. Act upon it. No matter how much struggle and poverty you may face. Whatever struggle and poverty that comes, never forsake the Quran and the guidance. Then he mentions, if a calamity befalls you, meaning if a hardship strikes you, put your wealth forward to protect your religion. And then he mentions, and if the calamity continues, the hardship still continues, he said, put forth your wealth and your life to save that religion. Your wealth and your life to save that religion. For the ruined, meaning that the one who is ruined is the one whose religion is ruined. That the one is ruined is the one that his religion has been ruined.
And the looted one is the one whose religion is taken from him. Subhanallah. The one that had religion and then it is taken from him. He is the one that has been looted. And then it says, and know that there is no poverty. La faqr. La faqr ba'd al-jannah. That there will be no poverty after paradise. And then he mentions that there will be no riches after the fire. Meaning, whatever riches you've accumulated, whatever wealth that you may have, there is no wealth after the nar. So that there, ikhwan, subhanAllah, we take heed from those words, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us firm. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubuna ala deenak. Ya arham al-rahimin, ya rab, thabbitna. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us firm upon the sirat al-mustaqim, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر لي لكم استغفروه إنه غفور رحيم. There are a few questions here, and I'm not normally in the position to answer questions, and alhamdulillah, madam, that you have the likes of Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali and Sheikh Abdullah Najmi, that alhamdulillah has regular lessons with you, that I strongly advise that you put forth your questions to him, but I'll try my best. الَّذِي عِنْدِي أَقُولْ لَكُمْ مَا عِنْدِي أَقُولْ لَكُمْ أَلَّهُ عَالَمْ. It mentions, can you mention the condition of hijab? From what I understand from this, that the hijab becomes obligatory upon the woman when she becomes baligha. That once she reaches at the age of adult, then she is mukallifa. And once that age comes, then it is upon her to cover. And what does it take to cover? There is ikhtilaf regarding whether the face should be covered. Majority of the ulama from the mamlaka say that likewise, that is a part of the hijab. And from them is Sheikh Albani rahimullah ta'ala, that says opposite. That says that the niqab is not wajib, lakin afdal. It is better. So the scholars did not differ at all regarding the niqab, that whether it is better or not. It is definitely better. But they had ikhtilaf regarding its wujub, whether it's obligatory or not. However, the headscarf and likewise the jilbab, then that is obligatory upon the woman. And the headscarf should not be like the headscarves with bright colors, or likewise with huge humps where it becomes a fashion. And likewise, the jilbab that you wear, it should be covering your body. It should be loose. It should not be tight fitted. And it should not be bright colors or decorations or glittering kind of like these ornaments that you have now. It should not be like that. That is not the intent. So that are some of the conditions that Allah knows best. Likewise, can you advise a sister who came to the masjid who's wearing makeup, and likewise other places outside of their homes? And verily, likewise, what I forgot to mention, that the ulama have mentioned that the niqab does come wajib and obligatory in some circumstances. When it becomes a huge fitna, then in some circumstances the niqab becomes wajib. If a woman wishes to beautify her face, and then she leaves her home, then she must cover that face. And if she does not wear the niqab, then it is not permissible for her. Taib, like the majority of the ulama, some of the ulama, they mention that she doesn't have to wear niqab, it's not obligatory. But a condition, that when she leaves the home, she does not beautify her face. She does not beautify her face. So it is not permissible for you, a woman, to leave her home, to have smells that will attract attention, and likewise to beautify herself outside of her home is not permissible. It mentions here regarding Al-Muntada Al-Islami. It mentions they have been refuted due to a certain book they follow and certain individuals. However, if those individuals are no longer there and those books have been removed, as a refutation was made a few years back. Is it permissible to go to their durus such as Sheikh who? Sheikh Uthaymeen. Or basically someone read Sheikh Uthaymeen's Aqidah and was explained by an imam. Wasim who? Kempson. Then I don't know this individual. And Allah knows best regarding these individuals. But my question to you is that why go to a place where there is a question mark? If these individuals in the first place were entertaining individuals like this, and likewise entertaining these type of books that had mukhalafat and individuals that were calling to this, then why would you have the need to go and take knowledge from these individuals where you have been blessed to have knowledge from Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali, and likewise Sheikh Abdullah Najmi, and likewise you are surrounded by the du'at and brothers that are known from the mashaykh to be manifest upon the truth, upon the kitab and the sunnah, upon the methodology of the salaf, then why would you choose to leave that and go to somewhere where there's a question mark? As for details regarding these individuals, Allah knows best. I don't really know them. But if that's the situation and their hal, then why would you go there? Why would you go there when you have the likes of this establishment here? I kind of find that ajeeb. This question, is food from places such as McDonald's halal? If you have evidence that they do not slaughter like from the people of the book. Like for example, if they electrocute the meat or the cattle, shall I say. A general principle is, ikhwan, there's big ikhtilaf amongst our ikhwa regarding this. And even amongst us du'at, from us eat the meat of Ahlul Kitab and from us they are du'at, they don't. Not because we negate the fact that you cannot eat from Ahlul Kitab. That is warid and there's no shak with that. But the confusion comes in regarding the way and the manner that it is slaughtered. So generally, Ahlul Ilm have mentioned that this land is known as a land of Ahlul Kitab. So due to that, you can eat their meat. And it's not for you to fatish and to go and search and to go and investigate how it's being slaughtered. As long as it's been established. And from them, Sheikh Falah Ismail is strongly on this. And a lot of the mashaykh from Kuwait. But there are some brothers that have mentioned that due to the nature of their work, because they work in the meat industry and they deliver halal meat, so they go to the slaughterhouse. And them going to the slaughterhouse, they have seen things with their own eyes. They have seen things, for example, the chicken's been electrocuted and already dead before they're being slaughtered. And then they have put that question to Sheikh Ubayd al-Jabri. And he answered regarding this particular situation. I don't know if it's the meat of McDonald's, but in this one particular slaughterhouse, they were killing in this manner. So Sheikh Ubayd was questioned regarding that the chickens are already dead before they come to slaughter. So the Sheikh said, if you can remove the dead chickens and distinguish between the meat that is being slaughtered while they were alive and the ones that were electrocuted, then alhamdulillah, it would be permissible for you to eat that meat. But if you cannot distinguish and it's all mixed in there, he said, al-afdal. He didn't say, no, you can't. He said, al-afdal, what is better is to leave it. So the general principle with Ahlul Kitab, the meat from Ahlul Kitab, yes, it is mentioned in the Quran. And likewise, it is mentioned in the Sunnah, so we can have their meat. Likewise, it is permissible for you to marry the people of Ahlul Kitab. However, and another rule is, you don't go fishing. You don't go to investigate. You don't do this. Just like, for example, if you go to a Muslim's home and you know that he's a Muslim and he presents to you food, it's not for you to question him, did you get this halal? Where did you get it from? You eat it. However, if dalil, without you investigating, if clear evidence comes to you and you know that they are slaughtering in this method, where they are killing the animals with a gun, for example, or whatever, and you know that clearly is happening here, then that particular incident, you would stay away from that, and Allah knows best. But the general hukam, that is it allowed to eat the meat of Ahlul Kitab, then yes. If a country is known to be a country of kuffar. Taib, balad al-kafir. But the land within it, taib, is open to Islam. Is it permissible to make hijrah there? First and foremost, that making hijrah are in different levels. Making hijrah is in different levels. Ahsan Shay, that you make the best form of hijrah, that you leave in a place, or you leave a place that is restricting you from practicing your religion, and you go to a place, the land of the Muslims, where there is aman and there is trust, where you can carry out your religion. To a land where the religion is manifest, and there is no haraj, and there is no mudayyiqat, there are no difficulties upon you to practice your religion. So that is the best place to go and make hijrah to. However, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, has mentioned that migration, the definition of hijrah, is not always min balad al-kafir ila al-balad al-muslim. That he says that the definition of hijrah is not always leaving a disbelieving land and going to a Muslim country. He said the proof of that is that when the companions, they left Mecca and they went to Habasha. Habasha at that time was not a Muslim land, but they made hijrah there. So then his definition of hijrah is that you leave a place where you are restricted to practice to your religion, and it's harmful for you to practice your religion. You leave such a place and you go to a place where it will be easy for you to practice your religion, or you will be allowed to practice your religion. He gives that definition. So it's not out of itlaq that you leave a kafir country and you go to a Muslim country. So based upon that principle, if Kenya, if it was easy for you to go to Kenya due to you having family there and you having land there, and the society that you'll be surrounded is a very strong Muslim society where you could practice your religion with ease, there's no hardship upon you, there's masajid, you hear in the adhan and etc., then it would be better than being in this country. However, one should not misunderstand that making hijrah to a Muslim country is afdal bil kathir, is better. It's better if you go to a Muslim country, that is better. But we're talking about individuals that maybe may not have the ability to go to Saudi Arabia, may not have the ability to go to any other land, for example. So then you do whatever you can do is in your ability. Sheikh Ubayd al-Jabri, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, even though some individuals, they misunderstood what he was saying, and this became a big thing that Sheikh Ubayd al-Jabri, he is ordering the youth to make hijrah to Dar al-Kufr. He is making the Shabab make migration to the disbelieving lands. But the question was to Sheikh, that, oh Sheikh, we are living in Europe, and it is difficult for us to reach Saudi Arabia, or any other Muslim country is difficult for us to go, due to restrictions, and due to passport problems, and immigration problems. So what do we do? So the Sheikh said, try your best to get into these lands and keep on trying. But in the meantime, if you have a European passport and you are facing problems, and these brothers were from Belgium, and we know in the mudayyiqat which they are facing in Belgium, the hardship of carrying out their religion, then he said, in the meantime, up until you have had a makhraj to go, then I advise you to go to Birmingham. Because there is a place there, it's a lot easier for you to practice your religion. And when Allah opens the way for you to go to the Muslim lands, then you do that. So this is what he said as well. So you always go to a place which is better for you than the situation that you're in now. But la shak wa la raib, from the best of the places, is definitely the Muslim lands. And Allah knows best. When have you got Sheikh Zayd next? متى؟ بس اسأله الأسئلة هو شيخ هو عالم هو مفتي لست بشيخ نكتفي بهذا القدر الله يرضى عليكم حياكم الله